So you say you're a Christian. What does that mean? How does it look? How would you describe it? In what kind of ways and what kind of terms? And I think there's incredible variations on what that answer could be, okay? But I'm interested, all right, in what that would be today. I'm going to give just sort of three responses to this in three general ways, okay? And then when we get to the time of being able to talk with one another a little bit about it, we'll focus on this third way, all right? But the first one is you can give a textbook answer. If you've been to Sunday school or you've been around the Bible a while, right, or if you heard people preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, maybe you'd say something textbook like this. And I just took this one from Patheos, all right? This is one that they had. There's multiple ones, and you could add to it. So you already should say, slow down. A Christian is one who has experienced a new birth through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. They are saved, they exhibit a changed life, walk in faith, share the gospel, help teach others to live like Jesus, and demonstrate Christ-likeness. Okay, you could add all kinds of things in there, right? Free from sin, you could say, you know, redeemed, and you could use all kinds of theological language as well, right? That's one way to answer this question. But even if you answer it that way, sometimes it seems like out there. It's like outside of us almost, right? We're describing something, oh, what's a Christian? Well, there it is, okay? All true, all good, can become internal, no doubt, right? So, a second way. So the first one, you say you're a Christian, one would be textbook. The next one would be through the eyes of others. Now, this is interesting. This could definitely be positive, all right? Now, here's some examples of positive. Where people would say, you know, what's a Christian? And they would respond, they say, well, what I know or what I see is I see something of goodness about them. Good people, they make the world a better place. There's something uniquely, radically, differently good about them. They care for the poor. They could describe it in all kinds of ways. They're kind. They're generous, right? You could have it that kind of way. Positive sort of things, like what's a Christian? You can also have all kinds of negative things as well, all right? Just as many, just to give you a few. Oh, what's a Christian? Someone might answer, oh, hypocritical, judgmental, legalistic, anti this or that, right? No, 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 you know, whatever, something like that. Repressive. Man, I've got a couple other terms here. I remembered a bunch of them I was looking at. Too political, too sheltered, exclusive. You fill in the blank. Now, today, there's all kinds of answers that way, too. Like people are saying, what's a Christian? They just sort of describe it based on what they see or they experience. You want to know what else with this one that's interesting is something that I've noticed, too. And I think our culture, maybe in Boulder, it might be more so. I have no idea, right? There's different places where of the world where this could be different. But this also happens on the part of Christians, grouping people together and talking about other group of Christians. And they come up with all the same things, positive, right? Negative. This denomination, right? This decision, right? So you can see, which that kind of thing, I have to say, for me, when I hear that kind of thing, it really makes me grieve. Now, if it's positive, that's another thing, I guess. But it seems really hypocritical to do that, to describe through the eyes of how you see a different group and you speak of them negatively. I just never understood it. I don't know what the fruit is in that. So actually, we're not going to focus on that today, and I don't want you focusing on that at all in your discussions, okay? That's the one thing you can't do. You can't eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all right? We're not going to critique other Christians. I don't see the point in it. What I want to do is this third way, and this is what I think we'll be spending our time on today, is what is the essence of being a Christian? I'm talking about what it should be, maybe, but I'm saying what it is, what it truly is. What does that look like? What does it mean? And this is much more descriptive. I want to talk about essence of being Christian and answer it that way together today. The essence, just to give you a definition in this context of what we're doing. The essence of Christian describes the intrinsic or indispensable quality of a Christian. What determines and is one's character? What makes up the life in Christ and in the Holy Spirit? And how it looks and is lived out? All right? Now, there might be some of those adjectival descriptive qualities we already may have mentioned in some way, but that's what I'm after. And next week, I'm going to have you an assignment at the very end that you all, because you'll be thinking about this some more. Some of you are more introverted and maybe don't share much today, but you have ideas. I want you to email them to me. I'm going to do a risky thing. I'm going to put my email on the screen. It's all over the web. Uh-oh. But I want to do that because I want to tabulate those things. And maybe after Thanksgiving, we can give thanks with that. See? What a Christian truly is. I know some people today don't even like the term, right? Call it follower of Christ or call it something else. But it's intentional to talk about the word Christian and what that means. So you say you're a Christian. What's its essence? Okay. Let me see here. I can't advance, so maybe, Eric, if you can do something maybe to help advance me one. What's its essence? Well, the last few weeks we heard the core of theological doctrinal answer to this, belonging to a kingdom of God, being recipients of God's covenantal love. It's the core of the gospel, right? The five solas, right? Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, Scripture alone, the glory of God alone. Okay, we're still, though, at this, do you feel it? It's kind of theological. What's a Christian? It's these things. All very good. But what does it look like when the essence of Christian is embodied? What does that look like? And I'm going to describe it by one very key way to do that, okay? And being free. I'm going to describe it in a few ways today. Certainly it means no longer confined and imprisoned by sin, but again, some of that is out there. It feels a little bit textbooky, right? Could be couched in Christianese. Yes, it's true. But it's where my will can actually be in concert with God's will for me. No longer subject to it or affected negatively by my own sin. No longer enslaved to its impulses, its control. Freedom from having the power. Freedom is having the power and ability to actually speak, act, and think without obstacle of myself. Free to do that. To be Christian is to be free. It's not a freedom either, right? Well, I'll say it's kind of a freedom from duty, have to, and it is a freedom to delight, meaning want to. Okay, that talks about essence more about it, what it means to be free. So, well, how so? That's some description of it, but here's one. I am free to love God. Think about that. Well, it seems obvious, but think about it in terms of what is a Christian. That is who we claim to be, those of us believe, right? We believe, we receive, we walk, we follow. We are free to love God. Now, how to do it? To do it with the whole and totality of our being. Now, it's interesting because as we talk through these things, we're going to look at, okay, this is what the essence of it means, right? From the text we read, it means to be free. Well, free from what? For what? Free to love God, like wholeheartedly. Now, when we do this today, you're going to go, oh, what about this one? Right? And it's going to be like, oh, this is what, right? The essence of Christian is, and this is where I am. You need to know God's be Christian is to know that there's grace, 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 grace. So don't let that be a stumbling block to you. But this is one. A Christian responds in reciprocation to the love of God with love for God. Okay? Next one. We are free to love others. Again, you read from Genesis to Revelation, the calling of God's people to love others is supreme. Just like loving God, from beginning to end, you see it. This cannot be missed. When you start reading Paul's letters, too, and you see all of these, like, instruction after instruction after instruction, right? Of like, okay, you've become a Christ follower, now what does it look like? And if you try to just highlight, if you go through the Gospels, and let's just take Paul's writing alone, add to it Peter's if you want, add to it James, and you highlight everything that has to do with being free now to love others, right? To love others well, it would probably consume almost the entirety of those books. So important is it. We're actually free to do that. Now think about it. What happens sometimes in our life, even as Christians, is things happen to us. Things happen around us. There are things in our own heart where there's more other things, right, that keep us from being free, right? We harbor bitterness, or we hold grudges, or it's just some things that we got to watch out for. But if you want to identify what a Christian is free to love others. Yeah, I don't know, our youth actually could go at this time. Sorry for the interruption, but I didn't know if people are still here, if Caitlin's planning on that or whoever else, but most people I saw walk out. It's good, they don't even wait for me. It's good. Scripture gives much guidance for this. Just think of a few. This is what we are free to do. To do to others as you would have them do to you. Essence of being Christian. Matthew 7. Do not take... Oh no, that was Matthew 7. Not taking vengeance or bearing a grudge. I mentioned that, right? We are free to do that, to not do that. Leviticus 19. How about Philippians chapter 2? Look not only to your interests, but look to the interests of others. We are free to do that. Care for the foreigner, the orphan, and the widow. We are free to do that. Act justly, love mercy. I could go on and on, right? That's the essence of what it means to be Christian. Another one I'm just going to highlight here. I'm hoping that you guys will come up more with more in a few minutes. Freed, what are we free for or from or whatever? We are freed from, and I just picked two, all right? Two big ones, sin, all that means. And I just picked hypocrisy as well, right? Because it's one of the critiques of Christian. We are free from that. And we are free for, okay? And my eyes are getting so bad I can't even read that. We're free for holiness and faithfulness. Holiness and faithfulness. What does the essence of that look like? And I wonder if you can put it in terms of that's freedom, that as a Christian, you are free to engage this. How does that sit? What does that look like? The one that I will probably spend a little more time on after we have some time of you just probing and taking a look at this is being free to forgive. Being freely forgiving is the one of the core essence of Scripture. Again, if you went through Scripture and you started to highlight, right, all of these things, like what does it mean to be a Christian? Could you imagine if someone asked you that? Well, what does that mean? What does that look? Well, it means that I'm free to forgive. I'm going to tell you that will lead to an unbelievable deep discussion. It should, Because everybody knows what it's like to have to forgive or to not forgive. And what is the secret to it? To forgive. To be freely forgiving. C.S. Lewis writes, "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive." The forgiveness of God is wonderful. To be a Christian is, in a sense, to be a little Christ. To be freed from our sin, to be forgiven of the incredible debt we cannot repay in Jesus Christ, what this does is opens the door for us to be free to forgive. Now, I understand this can be unbelievably tough. But I wonder if a essence of being Christian is one that even experiences tough stuff and yet still forgives. When I read different books or I read different stories about true things that have happened, I can taste some of this. Like, here's an example that you probably heard before, but I'll just give you a taste of what this is. We are free to forgive. Here it is. In the midst, this is about the Amish. There was that shooting, remember, in 2006? Remember this? I'm just going to read what someone else wrote about it. "Forgiveness in response to a school shooting." I got to tell you, this would this be my response? But wow, this tastes a lot to me like what we are free to do. In the midst of their grief over this shocking loss, the Amish community didn't cast blame. Really? They didn't hold a press conference with attorneys at their sides. Instead, they reached out with grace and compassion toward the killer's family. The afternoon of the shooting, an Amish grandfather of one of the girls who was killed expressed forgiveness toward the killer, Charles Roberts. That same day, Amish neighbors visited the Roberts family to comfort them in their sorrow and pain. Later that week, the Roberts family was invited to the funeral of one of the Amish girls who had been killed. And Amish mourners outnumbered the non-Amish at Charles Roberts' funeral. It's ironic that the killer was tormented for 9 years by the premature death of his young daughter. He never forgave God for her death. Yet after he cold-bloodedly shot 10 innocent Amish schoolgirls, the Amish almost immediately forgave him and showed compassion toward his family. In a world at war and in a society that often points fingers and blames others, hello, America. This reaction was unheard of. Many reporters and interested followers of the story asked, how could they forgive such a terrible, unprovoked act of violence against innocent lives? Something's going on in that community that is reflecting the love of God. Does this mean you don't pursue justice? No, I don't think so. Does this mean that you put yourself in harm's way again in any knowingly way? No, you can think of all kinds of scenarios about this, right? Hard things to forgive. But to forgive is one of the core identifiers of the essence of being Christian. That when you forgive, you let them go. When you forgive, you are letting yourself go. You are free. I'm telling you, that is the gospel on display. And to be in Christ is to be free to do that. Now, that's a heavy, big example. But there are all kinds of other ones. What I would like to do at this point is to give you time, all right, to just talk with one another, and if you feel more comfortable just reflecting by yourself on it, that's fine too, but there are pads of paper in front of you, and I know there are pens there, and I think if you can, and I've got a question for this, what is the essence of Christian? How do you understand and experience the essence of Christian? How would you describe it, okay, and try to go after the essence of it. It's okay if you repeat something I've said. I hope you come up with something totally new. That would be great. There's a myriad of answers to this. But if you could do that, and you know, if you're someone who's like, I don't know if I want to do that with someone else, and you know, if someone asks you to join their group, just say, I'm going to reflect on this myself. Okay, it's okay. Would you do that? And I'm going to give you about, I think, 5 minutes on this, all right? Maybe what you could do, though, is make sure you know each other in your group, all right? If there's someone you don't know, just introduce yourself a minute and then get down to trying to put some meat on this answer, okay? All right, I'll let you go. Unequivocally. Think of qualities, right? Characteristics, core essence. Okay. Quite an odd couple here. All right, I'll give you 30 more seconds. Think about that, write down a few last thoughts. And if I need to slow down, you say slow down. Great. Well, let's just have a few responses here. And how I'd like to do this, because of people online, rather than passing a mic around or whatever, just say a word, right, or a phrase of that if you're able to, like what's the essence of that or what came up for you. And then I'm going to talk a little bit more about a few things with the time we have left. But what is, how do you understand, right, and experience the essence of Christian? And again, this isn't through the eyes of others. It's what really is it? How'd you describe it? Anyone? Humbleness. So, art of humility, right? Which probably goes a long ways to fighting towards judgmental. Long ways towards pride, which would not be Christian. Anyone else? Alive in Christ. Alive in Christ, yes. Language straight out of Scripture, right? A description. Any clarifiers to that, right? Like it's alive in Christ, meaning your life is centered in Christ. Your life, yeah, was dead and now alive. Enough said. Anyone else? Yeah, Vince. Yeah, follower of the way of Jesus. Now, that's good in the sense that it's descriptive, right, of Christian, what it means. In Latin, Christianus, follower of Jesus, right, or follower of the way. In fact, the first time Christians was mentioned was in Antioch. And I'm not sure it was so good. In fact, it was almost a term of mockery. Christian, you know, just you can think about it like that. Like, oh, they're those crazy people who follow this person named Jesus. They say he rose from the dead, you know, Christian. But that's exactly how Scripture talks about it, right? Like, what is a Christian? Anyone else? There's so many, and I know that. So, someone come up with something different, different idea or different thought about that. Yeah, Elizabeth. I'm sorry, servitude? Yeah, yeah. Free to serve. Free to serve. The opposite of selfishness. Selflessness. Or thinking of yourself less would be a good start. Right? Essence of being Christian. Man, there's so many things, right? Like laying down your life for others, what does that look like? Being generous and hospitable, right? Or there's so many different ways you can do this and talk about this. Well, here's another thought to just have you think a little deeper is, what does it look like in the middle of your pain? In the middle of your hurt, brokenness, something comes to you that you don't deserve. Call it even being a victim. Then what? What is the essence of Christian? Okay. Say it louder, Karen. Hope. Thank you. Because you know when I say it, it's so dramatic, right? Hope. We are free to hope. Trust. Free to trust. We are free to enter into deeper faith. We are free to find peace. You know, it's fascinating text, right? Well, there's lots of them, right? But it's like Philippians 2. I've always gravitated towards. I know a lot of you like it too. It was a text of our quarter at one time. But it's like, you know, when you put your hope and your trust in God, right, what happens is the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then it says, think about these things, right? And it's all these things of being in Christ and of the goodness of God's love for you. And all these things flow out. And then what does it say? It says, and then the God of peace will be with you. It's like the peace of God and the God of peace. We are free to enter into it. Well, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Absolutely. When you're in the pit, right? Where can you find hope? How does it show up? Right? Boy, that's the tough place where, right, to find faith, to enter into the essence of being Christian. I mean, God's love never leaves us, but yet we may not feel it, right? I wonder if what we did with that song earlier where we changed the I's to the we, if that doesn't have some powerful truth, right? That when you're in the pit, boy, if there's someone in that pit with you that has flesh and bones, right? A mind and a heart, someone who can be there and be a presence in the midst of it with you. I mean, that's like, wouldn't that be the definition, the essence of Christian? That where the world hurts, where a brother or sister is in pain, even our enemy, by the way, Jesus teaches this kind of radical response, right? Or essence of Christianity. You enter into this relationship, right, of with, like, to be actually God with. Christian, a little Christ. Well, what did God do for us when we didn't deserve it, you see? Do you see how this unlocks, like, to be a follower of Christ, to be alive in Christ, how it unlocks this life in the Holy Spirit? A life of being free, okay? So I'm wondering for a moment here if this would be good, and this I didn't have planned, so this I leave open to the Holy Spirit, right? You discern it. But what would be one thing, and try to identify one if you're able, that God may be calling you to approach it in a different way that maybe you have been, or that you are, or maybe a new way of framing it that embraces on a deeper level the essence of being a Christian based on the stuff we talked about. Do you get this question? No? What would be one thing that might be a challenge and a struggle right now for you that you need the essence of being Christian to speak to, or something that could actually maybe change you or change that scenario or situation if you were to embody Christ in it, okay? Still not clear? I thought it was a Holy Spirit moment. Where is the wound in your life? Identify it. Where is the place that you are most broken in need of healing? Think about that. How is it that the essence of being in Christ, can it speak to that? Is there someone who has offended you to such a deep level that you just cannot find yourself to forgive? Well, that would be one. Think on that. I'm just going to give you a bit of some holy silence to just think about that. Be open. Someone you can forgive. What's that? Thank you, Ray. You get the question. Ray said so many things. Try and make it just measurable, right? Like something you can actually tangibly. And I'll tell you what, usually the first thing that comes to your mind is might be the best one. And just hold that and put it before God. And I'm going to finish with some thoughts about forgiveness. Okay. You may not have the exact answer coming to you right now about exactly how the essence of being Christian can play into the thing that is on your mind and heart. But I would ask that right now you would just simply offer a simple prayer. And would you say, God, would you fill me with an understanding and an experience of your love for me that I can be free in letting this go? Okay? That I can be free to walk in freedom so that it's not poisoning my own soul, that it's not holding someone under my own judgment, but that before you, God, I can give them over to you or whatever the situation is. Would you just do that? Okay? Just do that. The essence. Of being Christian. Is to be free. Some C.S. Lewis. Those who have received God's magnanimous grace cannot stintingly, and I put in there stingily, maybe easier to understand. They cannot withhold forgiveness from their fellow human being. To do so dishonors God, it hurts our neighbor, poisons our own soul. Difficult though it may be, we must forgive, and with God's help we can. As we do, we will taste the sweet freedom and joy known only to forgiven and forgiving hearts. Here's a word from Lewis Smedes. He wrote The Art of Forgiving. And his book kind of goes after healing the hurts we don't deserve. Maybe there's someone here today like that. You will know that forgiveness has begun when you recall those who hurt you and feel the power to wish them well. When you release the wrongdoer from the wrong, you cut out a malignant tumor out of your inner life. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and then come to discover that the prisoner was you. Forgiving another sets the forgiver free, and in Jesus Christ, being a Christian, a little Christ, we are free to forgive. Don't misunderstand. I mean, this is a big topic, right? It doesn't mean we necessarily forget. It doesn't mean we put ourselves in another's way of harming. It doesn't mean there's reconciliation even one to another, okay? It doesn't mean that. He says it takes one person to forgive. It takes two people to be reunited and reconciled, so don't misunderstand. Forgiving does not erase the bitter past either. Forgiving leads one to healing and transformation, to truly being free. Maybe it's a healed memory. And a healed memory is not a deleted memory. Instead, forgiving what we cannot forget creates a new way to remember. Begin to walk in more freedom. Free to love God. Free to love others well. Freely forgiving. Free from sin and hypocrisy. Free to, right, be holy and faithful. Amen. I would like to pray with you. now, and then I would just like to, we'll stand and we're just going to sing Jesus Loves Me. I feel like we can probably pull that off, right? Let's stand. Lord God, today, thank you for making us think about the essence of being Christian. Whether we like the term or not, or we embrace it or do not, the core essence of what it means, right, to be alive in Christ, to be a follower of you, that the core of it all is freedom. And Lord, there may be places in our life where we just really don't feel free. We're captured by all kinds of things other than actually being free. It's just proven out in our anxieties and our fears and the different things we struggle with. So, Lord, I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would lead us each this week in ways that we can discover and experience a deeper freedom in you. Lord, hear our prayer. We want to be truly free, to be able to give thanks this week for your good gifts. Lord, we pray this today in Jesus' name.